Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inquiring minds want to know, how many kids is too many goddamn kids? Is there an answer to that?
One. It's like, I'm just kidding. No, not one.
Clearly it's not one if y'all about to tune into this episode with me and my girl. Deadass. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now. I feel like we all have our friends that we go to in a time of triumph, in a time of despair, and everything in between, you know? So I'll never forget this day, or actually it was a couple consecutive days where it's like, you know, you have your friend, haven't spoke to them in a minute, then you start playing this very intense game of phone tag, and you're going back and forth, and I'm just like, man, I just can't get in touch with my girl Bianca, because she called me, I call her, we're just playing this game, right? So finally, I get a hold of Bianca, and she says to me, girl,
guess what?
She hit me with the girl, right?
Guess what?
So I'm just like, what's going on, girl? It's been a minute. Haven't spoken to you a minute. She said, girl, you will never guess. I am pregnant. So at that point in time, there's so many different reactions that I could have had, right? I could have been like, oh my God, girl, you're pregnant. Like, yay. Or it could have been like, oh, because I know that's not what you really wanted. But this one in particular threw me for a whole loop. And I'll tell you why. I said, okay, sis.
By who?
By who? And the reason I asked that is because I know, to my knowledge, that her husband had a vasectomy. He got the snippeties. The balls were smashed, right? So as far as I know, or I didn't know, whose baby is this, Bianca? Because it clearly can't be your husband's.
And I was like,
so I thought she was dropping like the entire teapot on my head, right? So I'm like, all right. So she's like, fool, it's Keith's baby, clearly.
You gonna get me killed out here in these streets.
It's clearly Keith's baby. However, I'm 18 weeks. I was like, what?
18 weeks.
So not only is she pregnant for her husband who had a vasectomy, she's 18 weeks pregnant. Now for me, as a woman who's pregnant with my fourth, I knew I was pregnant by like week six because my body just was like, I just know what it is. But with Bianca, I'm like, girl, you didn't know that you were 18 weeks pregnant until you were 18 weeks?
18 weeks pregnant. Did not know. I was still getting a period. I was still getting a period, but it was like kind of funny. It
right. Was like, so she was like, girl, I thought I was going through menopause. I was getting like all these different flashes. You know, I had really bad what I thought was gas. Meanwhile, it was a whole baby moving inside of her. That wasn't gas, Bianca. So I was completely thrown for an entire loop. Bianca thought she was going through menopause. You were actually about to go get lipo done.
I was getting ready to go get liposuction. I didn't care. Okay. Yeah, I don't care.
She had four kids already. So I'm like, I'm all for it. If you need a little nip, a little tuck, a little suction after four kids, by all means, do what you got to do, sis. And it was in your pre-surgery blood work that you found out you were pregnant. So for further confirmation, you had to now shoot on over to the OBGYN just to see, like, just scan my belly real quick and see if any baby pops up in there, because it could still be gas.
I'm praying that is gas at this point. Yeah. It's not gas, guys. It's a whole baby. A whole baby developed up in here. I didn't even know. I was like, what? What? So come to find out, your boy, Keith, did not go back and get the check that he was supposed to get. So obviously, I think you're supposed to like wait for 3 months and do all this extra. You have to like have sex.
He did not do his job, folks. He didn't do his job.
Had a whole baby.
And here we are with a whole baby, and she's beautiful, and baby number five for Bianca. Five. That was story time, y'all. We're going to unpack a little bit more with story time when we come back, okay? We're going to unpack it after this.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us, and it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact, and the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Don't know what I'd ever do without you. From the beginning to the end, you've always been here right beside me. So I call you my best friend. Through the good times and the bad ones, whether I lose or if I win.
But we win.
We win it. That part. So I call you my best friend. Bianca and I have known each other for a minute. Been a minute. And I figured, you know, DeVal did his guys episode and whatnot. So for my girls episode, I really needed, especially as I'm about to have another baby, I needed a session where I can just like kick back. We can have some girl talk. I'm new to the Atlanta area. Bianca's been here for a minute now.
Yeah, about 7 years.
Yeah. But she and I actually met years ago in Detroit when her husband and my husband were playing together on the Detroit Lions. So that's been how many years now?
That's like, what? 15 years.
Makes sense. I always gauge it based off your first daughter, my girl Gianna, because she's 16 now. 16. So, and I met you, but she was like about 2 years maybe.
Yep, she was just getting ready to turn two.
So this has been a friendship in the making for a long time. And we have literally been through so many different phases of life together. Now having
Nine kids in between us.
Well, eight.
I am
on the way to nine.
We're counting.
We're going to count, baby boy. Already, we're going to count it.
I'm pretty sure that it's going to turn into 10 kids in between us guys.
You see what she's trying to do?
10.
You see what she's trying to do? Make misery loves company, right? I told you that that 5-kid club, that membership fee is too expensive for me. So Bianca, just say hello to the Deadass community. Introduce yourself. Let them know a little bit about yourself, what you do, running all these businesses, being a boss, mom, and wife.
Okay, so my name is Bianca. Of course, I have 5 kids. I'm married to my husband, Keith. 4 girls, 1 boy. We own businesses together. We do Youth Sports League, I&I Sports in Douglasville, Fayetteville, and Coweta County. I hope I say Coweta right. Then also rehab real estate. So that's what we're doing thus far.
She's always doing all the things, I absolutely love about you and admire about you, I must say, because Bianca be getting it in. So let's go back to story time real quick.
Oh, Lord.
Because that was just, that was the funniest phone call. And it's something that only you and I feel like could laugh about. Because let's face it, another baby, another blessing, it's all good. But what do you think went wrong with the whole scenario? If we had to say something went quote unquote wrong, of course you weren't expecting to have another baby because you were done. Your youngest at the point was how old? 8 maybe?
My youngest, was 8.
Was like 8.
8 years old.
Right. Yeah, and we had a previous conversation where you had said to me, you know, the benefit of having kids young is that you have them young, and by the time they're out the house, you still have like your entire 40s, 50s, 60s to just live it up, to regain yourself.
I said all those
to
things.
To do all the things.
But apparently we started over. I don't know what happens. Okay, so that occurred. But you know what? The good point about it is that I do have older kids. Mm-hmm. So now they're very helpful. Or let's say they were very helpful. Because now that she can walk and talk and she has her own little personality, they're like, Mom, come get your kid.
So the built-in babysitters you had, you don't really have anymore.
They're not.
So what did it feel like for you and your husband when you found out that you were pregnant after a vasectomy? So technically, is it a thing that they can't guarantee 100% that the vasectomy will completely rid you of the possibility of it?
They cannot guarantee it. They give you a piece of paper that you sign at the beginning of the procedure, and it does say that it has like a certain percentage of it does work. But the point is, Keith Smith Jr., that you're supposed
his whole
to go
government.
Back into the doctor's office and they're supposed to check and make sure. He did not go back, guys, and he did not tell me this information.
So from what I understand, you're supposed to have like a whole lot of sex after.
You're supposed to have a whole lot of sex after from my, this is what I'm being told.
Right. You know, or a whole lot of ejaculation. So it's not necessarily have 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. to get it out, to get out the active sperm.
Mm-hmm.
But there, Bria was active. She was highly active, obviously, because she's here.
As we can tell. And she's running around like a little ball of fire, that little Scorpio baby. Actually makes me excited to have a Scorpio baby, too, because Brielle, I'm going to pit them up together and they can have a field day.
Girl, you need to.
They can have a field day.
Brielle's on another level.
I know.
Scorpios.
That's all I got to say. I don't know much about them, but we'll get to know them very soon. So there's a discussion sometimes about people always just naturally being in people's uterus, right? Being in your uterus, wanting to know like all the plans you have, you know, you have one baby, it's like, when's the next one? You have another baby, it's like, when's the next one? Then you have like me, three of the same kind, and it's like, are you going for the girl? And then now, being pregnant with my fourth boy, I'm still getting the question, so are you going to try for the girl again? Or are you going to go for the fifth one? And I'm just like, at one point do people just say, you know what, let me just shut my mouth and just ride whatever wave these people are on because they're doing their thing.
They don't.
How many? They don't ever do
they
that.
They don't. I mean, even my mother, she like, when we went to Mexico, she has the kids, she has the grandkids, and she's like, oh my gosh, you should totally have a sixth one so Brielle can have a playmate. I'm like,
it's like, when does it ever end?
Mom.
When does
How
it
about
ever
you
end?
Only have one, and now you have me having all these kids? No,
absolutely.
Ma'am. And you live in Michigan, ma'am? Please,
no. Mom's gonna have to come down here and keep Mimi company. The two of For them real. Can actually get together and be together. But yeah, at what point do you feel like how many kids are too many kids?
How many kids are too many kids?
That's my question.
That's my question too. Because literally, I have like with the five, it's not. I feel like once you have three, mm-hmm. after three. You can manage any amount of kids because my house is like the kid spot. Everybody drops their kids off in my house. And when they're there, I don't notice anything. So I can say.
So whether it's five or whether it's nine.
Five or nine or 10. Once you get past three, you can handle anything.
I remember you telling me that too. You did say yes. that. So I think it's safe to say, you know, you have one child. Okay. That's like two parents on one. If you have like, you know, a traditional household and then you have two, it's like, okay, there's that, you know, I forget what it is. Is it man-to-man coverage?
Yeah, like the one-to-one ratio.
One-to-one ratio. Yeah. And then you have three, and then now it's just like...
Chaos.
Chaos, right. Chaos. So after that, it's just like anything goes,
anything
right?
Goes.
Anything goes.
You're used to it.
Well, let's see what stats we have here. You know, because I asked my good girl Tribble to pull up some stats for me, and let's see what is the consensus, right? Because I feel like back in the day, when you look at our grandmothers... They were having
like seven, mad eight, kids. Nine, 10 kids.
Like, what else were y'all doing like, back in the day other than getting it in? So, overall, women have 2.07 children during their lives on average, up from 1.86 in 2006, the lowest number on record.
Hmm.
Interesting. So, it seems like most people are having two children. Which is point fair
seven.
To say.
What's the 0.7 about? If they have a pet or something?
It could be a pet.
Who's the pet?
You know, a fish, something like that. The median age at which women are becoming mothers in the U.S. is 26 compared to 23 in 1994. So I do feel like there's also a wave of women waiting later to have kids. So you had told me early on that you actually preferred having children younger because you felt like, well, what was your reasoning? You tell me.
Okay. One, I...
Because you had your first child at what age?
I had my first child at 22.
Okay.
So 22. So it went 20. I was 22, 24, mm-hmm. 26, 28. And I was like, okay.
Was that strategic?
It was. It wasn't. It's just like I ended up getting pregnant like every 22 months. So I was just like, oh, okay. I don't know. I feel like it's them close together and younger. I can definitely tell the difference because now with Brielle, I was a geriatric pregnancy. They just kept on saying, oh, geriatric pregnancy. You're geriatric.
Yeah, that term needs to die somewhere.
I'm like,
after me.
Seriously? No.
After this pregnancy, we're not using that no more.
Ever. So younger, I noticed I had way more energy with the kids. Like it was just like more patience, more energy, more everything. And then now with, I can tell the total difference with Brielle because I am like, okay, I need a break. I can't go running up and down the stairs with you. It's just like, come on, girl, let's calm down. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's working opposite for me because I know a lot of people that have waited until their 30s to have their children.
Mm-hmm.
But me, I'm like, I wanted to have them young, get them out of the way, and then be good.
Spread your wings and fly.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
And then Brielle came along and... Snap them wings
she
in half.
Threw the wrench.
She threw the wrench in your hand. Well, yeah, I think that's the thing where I did see the benefit of having Jackson at 27. But at the same time, too, I feel like I'm able to afford my children more opportunity now that I'm having kids a little bit older, because you figured in your early 20s, a lot of times you're still trying to figure things out, right? So there's that process of trying to figure out careers or right. trying to build money. And people ask, like, when's the right time to have a kid? And I'm always like, there's never really a right time. Like,
there is not.
Have you ever really felt prepared for a kid?
No matter how particularly much you your prepare, first one? It's like something that happens that gets you off balance or unprepared to handle what's coming next. It's like ever changing. So it doesn't really make a difference about the age. I feel like your finances have to be in order. Mm-hmm. Luckily, my finances were in order. So I was like, okay, let's right. have all these kids.
Right.
But with that, I mean, you just have to make sure that you're ready to have kids, because you are not going to be the same person as you were before kids. And then your mate and your significant other have to take that into consideration too. Because of course, when we're younger guys, younger girls, we don't think the same in our 30s as we do in our 20s.
Right.
But you don't think the same as a mother as you do when you're not. So mm-hmm. that changed. The mothering part changed. Like, it was just like, oh, I'm responsible for this little life, and I'm the person that has to mm-hmm. step up to the plate. And what if something happens? It's my fault. It's that.
There's like no aspect. Point of return. We've spoken on the episode, on a prior episode, and I've mentioned about someone who I spoke to recently that was just like, you know, as much as I love my children, I really would have rethought if I even wanted to be a mother to begin with. Because it's just a lot. And she said the way her anxiety is set up, she's like, I saw a meme recently that said motherhood means that you're pretty much going to be in a constant state of worry for the rest of your life. And I was like, that is me 110%. Like, I'm going to literally be worrying for the rest of my life about all these different children. So it's like not worrying about one, not two, not three. But when you let 4 and 5 children out into the world, it's like that much more intense.
You're definitely going to worry. And then the other aspect to it is like you have multiple personalities that you're dealing with.
That's a whole nother thing in itself.
Multiple personalities that you're dealing with. So guess what? You're basically schizophrenic or bipolar or like you're trying to help everybody and right. learn each child, because they're going to process things differently. They're going right. to take things that you might say to them to heart. Like, they're more sensitive, they're more responsible, they're like, you have to push them, like you have to learn your kids to know what exactly to do. And I think that's the biggest process that you have to get past, because some people just say, okay, I have 3 kids, oh, I'm parenting these 3 kids the same way. And you can't.
Right.
It's like you can't do
right.
it.
Right. It's literally, I told Val recently, I said, I feel like we have to style step accordingly to each child. And he was like, yes and no. I think that part of it is style stepping, like you said, to say, okay, I know that this particular child can handle this criticism delivered in this manner. Mm-hmm. Whereas this child may not be, you know, as
I'm like, what, mom?
Right.
What happened?
I can tell which of your kids would be more dramatic.
Yeah.
But then you know, you'll have one that you have to be a little bit more sensitive with the delivery or the approach that you take. So he said, you know, I think it's twofold, Kay. I think it's a thing where, yes, you have to style step a bit, but you also kind of have to set a precedence as the parent. Like, listen, y'all, this is just what it is. Mm-hmm. This is the rule. Like, he believes in being very direct and blunt in a relationship and also in parenting. Mm-hmm. So I've had to learn that way, because I've kind of been more of the one to style step around the kids' individuality and like the way they receive things. Like, I know I could tell Kaz something bluntly. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is Kaz's.
That's my baby. I mean,
she's
totally
Kaz's godmother. So Kaz, I could be like, yo, listen, XYZ, this is how it's gonna go. And he's gonna pout, or he might look at me sideways, such a Sagittarius. He might look at me sideways, but at least I know I can deliver it to him in that manner right. and be firm. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Cairo, if I tell him something, he almost feels as if, oh my God, I disappointed mom, so I'm gonna cry.
Right.
You know, or Jackson, he just thinks he knows everything at 10. I recently told him the other day, I was like, listen, if you know everything at 10 years old, I'm gonna just retire from being your mom. How about that?
Well, what was his response on that?
Listen.
He was like, okay.
I can't, like, literally just little things that I've been trying to, like, you know, because you got to coach your kids up. You have to teach them little things. And, you know, I was explaining something to him, and he just literally was just so bothered by the fact that I even had the audacity to say anything to him. So I said, you know what? I'm going to just retire from being your mom, since you know everything at 10.
And that's
what am
thing.
I here for?
But that's how you feel. But now that Gianna, she's 16, and Giselle, she just went into high school. So she's a 9th grader, freshman, and she goes to Giselle, I hear them talking. I'm like, let me go spy on these kids. Uh-huh. And she's like, listen, the thing that I wish that I would have listened to mom and been more involved in clubs and sports and stuff in high school, because then, bam, the pandemic happened, and she was like,
"It's already now starting.
It's already starting." I was so excited. I was like,
oh. "That was nice."
I see, was like, "Yeah, she usually listen to mom. You see, mom be don't stop."
See, I actually definitely did not start to relate to anything my mother said to me at all until I was like in my 30s.
But guess
for the
what?
Most part, as a parent, at least.
Now that you say that, that was the same thing with my mom, and you know. Our mother's generation is different. Like, they came from a parent generation is like, do as I say, not as I do. What I say goes. That's just it.
That's just what
it
is.
Be quiet. Don't say nothing.
Right.
And with our kids, I feel like I gave them a little bit more freedom to kind of, oh, this is what I want to do. And this is what, because you have kids, right? But you can't, you cannot treat your newborn like you treat your toddler. You can't treat your toddler like you do your school age kid and then your high schooler. Like, as they progress and evolve, you're supposed to evolve as a parent with them. So you have to kind of put your feelings to the side. Because I know my teenagers, I mean, my teenagers talk to me about all kinds of stuff, like crazy stuff. I mean, I'm like just sitting there like, oh, I'm like,
you get nervous.
And I'm a Gemini, so it's on my face. And I'm just like,
you get nervous.
Keep your face straight.
Uh-huh.
Don't make anything. Don't make any movements. Don't. Like judge, because then they'll shut down. They're like, okay, I don't want to even.
So you feel comfort in the fact that your high school age children can speak to you about anything.
Yes, because especially
which we couldn't do to our parents.
We couldn't. My mom was like, a boy came up to you and said, "What?"
Exactly. You like who? Like your books? How about that?
How about that?
Right.
Do you know your math facts? I'm like,
I know.
Oh, I like this boy. I like that boy. Or oh, this boy said this, and I'm like, okay.
Right. But nowadays, I feel like our children are left to contend with so much more, and they are exposed to so much more than we were back in the day. I mean, yes. We were exposed to stuff, but we kind of had to dig to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you'd have your little friend that was a little fast that your mom warned you about, like, just don't hang out with her because I could tell, like, they could tell from early who the little fast ones were. You know, so
and
that
like, no, that's my friend. Mom.
Exactly. You defend your friend, but knowing good and well, you was getting tips and tricks from her. Like, I was exposed to Little Kim writing down song lyrics from early, all sorts of stuff. I forget what book it was that I was reading. Everybody was reading this book back in the day. Was it Fly Girl?
Fly Girl.
Fly Girl, or like Zane books and like things like that. Like, that was like circulating in middle school. And I'm like, oh Lord, that is the age as my heart starts to palpitate.
Yes. Jackson will middle be school, but in middle how school about, next year. I was just saying about middle school. I'm like, okay, these kids in middle school, they're doing all types of things and like everything. When I say all types of things, I mean, they're doing everything. So I have to like talk to my son a little bit differently than I talk to my girls and say like just straight up, don't be touching this. Don't be doing this. Like if girls say this, don't.
Right.
You know, and keeps looking at me like.
Remember the other day she was like, I had to tell him recently, don't let these girls touch your pee-pee. Don't let them do this. Do not touch their anything. Because
I was
we
like,
just don't
let them touch your balls. You don't touch this. You don't touch it. And keeps looking at me like. I'm gonna talk to him. You just don't worry about that.
Right, right.
But
as a mom,
but
we
as
know,
a mom,
with,
I'm
with
like,
our boys too. Listen, I know what it is.
It's like I gotta tell you. What's gonna happen? What's not gonna happen?
We have to.
Like
so,
the girls too. They're just like, oh my gosh, mom, do we have to talk about this right now? Oh. And I'm like, yeah, we do.
That's when you pull up pictures of like herpes.
All types of stuff. I was
and
doing
you
that.
Pull up pictures
like,
of like
and if you
gonorrhea.
Kiss everybody, you get mono. And they're like, this mono. And I'm like, yeah, don't.
Right. I mean, sometimes you got to put the scare tactics in there just so they can have it in the back of their mind. If you want to try anything, just know the pictures. Just remember the pictures. You want to search stuff on social media, look up what herpes looks like on outbreak. They get scared.
Tips on parenting. Just scare the hell out of them.
And then hug them after. So you touched a little bit on this when you were explaining your story with you and your husband. Mothers generally with each child tend to be reborn in a sense, right? We're learning something new, whether it's either about the child, we're learning something new about ourselves. Like, I feel like after Kaz, which was my third birth, I was like, shit, I'm superwoman. Like, I had a whole motherfucking baby in a bathtub.
I thought you were
like,
too.
Like, what?
I was looking at it and I was like there the whole time. I was breathing with you.
Yeah,
I was like,
girl. All the things.
I'm like, why am I pushing? I ain't got nothing to push out. What am I pushing for?
Listen, I mean, it was a time. So I just learned in that experience, like, wow, like the strength that I had, you know, and also just like the faith that I had in God and my body to do what it was supposed to do. And like also just overcoming fear. Like so many things I learned in that process. Ooh. But you also hear moms talk a lot about how they tend to lose themselves in the process of parenting and becoming a mom. So how do you feel like over the course of having children over the past couple of years that you've had to kind of defer your dreams a bit or put things on hold? How has that kind of manifested or not in your life?
Well, with that, I mean, timing. Like, I have a time issue, guys. I've had it for a long time. Kadeem, you may know, back at games, I'll be missing the national anthem. I'll be missing play. I'm like, yeah, I was there. Woo-hoo. No, I was not on time.
Right.
So, and that is a big thing for Keith. Like, he loves to be on time. And I feel like with having the kids, that has, multiple kids, has gotten me to the point where I have to be aware of the time. I have to be aware of the schedule and what's going on, because with kids, of course, you need some kind of stability and mm-hmm. some kind of scheduling and that kind of thing. So with me, the biggest transition was learning how to manage my time and being able as a mother to say, hey, from this time to this time, I don't care what y'all doing. As long as the house is not burning down and y'all aren't dead, don't tell me. Okay.
Right.
Go to
don't
your dad.
Come looking for me. Yeah.
Go to your dad. Cause I can remember like when they were smaller and I'm like just in the shower, like that's my time. Like, let me just wash my hair. Okay, guys.
That's all I want. I just want to, can I wash my ass in peace?
Yeah.
Please.
But that's the thing. You can't wash your ass, because Cannon was had probably like maybe three. And all of a sudden I feel like little fingers and they're in my butt crack. I'm like opening my eyes like, what the hell is this? He's in the shower with me with like, ma. And I'm like,
right,
where's your dad?
Right, where's the dad?
Watching football.
Yeah, time management has definitely become a thing with me too. And it's funny because now that we're kind of back into a routine where the kids are back in school, mm-hmm. we're treading lightly, we're starting to slowly put Jackson back in sports. It's like literally you should see our calendar aside from just like career stuff with DeVal and I. We have a joint calendar with our manager. So there's like work related things. Then there's like Jackson and his slew of activities Ooh. That are happening several times. So I can only imagine as Cairo and Kaz get into it and then eventually this baby when he's grown up. That's kind of where you are now with your kids.
Yes, the activities.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm tired of the activities. Okay. Because when I was a child, yes, I was in activities, but my mom was like, oh, them activities better be at school because I'm not driving you all around town. But now I found myself literally in the car from like 6:30, because when I moved down here to Georgia, mm-hmm. even you know, they start school way too damn early.
Mad early.
Way too early.
Mad early.
Like, I swear the first 6 months of school they were late like every day, to the point that the lady was like, you're gonna have to tell your mom to get you here on time. And I was like, tell her
to come and help make breakfast in the morning,
get y'all together.
Yes,
how about that? Yeah. Go tell her.
The nerve. There should be like some sort of like leeway given to,
yeah, like
with multiple children.
A grace period.
Can we get a grace period?
It needs then they're going to be like,
you shouldn't have had so many damn kids anyway.
Right.
That's probably what they'd end up saying to us.
For real.
But yeah, organization, I've realized. Like, even if you weren't a person who was organized before, having multiple children,
you're going to get organized, or your life is just going to be chaotic.
You know what stresses me out? Having to figure out dinner every night. That is like my biggest stressor when it comes to having a family. And not to mention my husband, who is like social butterfly and always wants to have people over by the house. So I'm always finding myself like, oh my God, what am I going to feed these people plus my children on a random night? That's like my biggest like anxiety.
I feel like with food, I'm really good at food. Like I'm really, really
Yeah, Bianca's low-key a chef, y'all.
Like,
She could throw down as we sit here with banana pudding in our face. Did y'all see the banana pudding though? Mm-hmm. Yes, so
meals are not a problem. The problem is the same thing. Like, I don't know. Are your kids like, I don't want to eat that. I ate that yesterday. Because my kids are crazy. They don't eat leftovers. I don't know where they got it from.
Oh, no. Maybe that's not me. Thankfully, DeVal and the kids are not super picky. But Jackson has a bad habit of asking me, like, in that moment, like, Mom, can I have tacos now? And I'm like, bro. It's 7 o'clock. It's dinner time.
It's roast beef tonight.
This is what it is. Like this is what we're doing tonight.
That is hard. Like that is hard. And then multiple people and then their taste. Like it was a point in time where I was like the craziest mom on the planet. I was like, okay, this person doesn't like cheese anymore. This person doesn't like purple grapes. When did this happen? Like I'm bringing purple grapes home. They're like, we don't eat purple grapes anymore. We only eat green grapes. When the hell did you stop eating purple grapes?
That's literally my kid. They have like a season. They have a season. Even my husband. One minute he's eating corn pops and the next minute he's like, I don't eat corn pops no more. Meanwhile, I went to Costco and got the whole big box of corn pops that's going to sit there and rot now.
Wow. Where they're still there.
They still there.
Oh,
we should start swapping. We should start sending. I'm going to say like, to
what
you.
Cereals do you have? Because I have like a whole big bunch of Lucky Charms left over. Because
they don't want to eat
the Lucky Charms anymore.
Well,
and
damn.
You're buying in bulk and you're like, for what?
You sound like Mimi, though, because my mom has spoiled my children. I mean, there's a benefit of her living with us for sure, because she's a great help. But also, too, they've gotten used to my mom like takes breakfast orders for them the night before.
I was doing what Mimi was doing. Like, I was literally like, you want omelets? You want a waffle?
Oh, she was doing omelets.
Yeah, I was doing omelets and stuff.
That bitch was getting fancy.
I was getting all fancy. I was doing, oh, you want a frittata? I was like, who are you? The Black Martha Stewart? Calm down. Like, just give them a bowl of cereal. Like, so I had to pull that back a little bit in order to create time for myself.
Right.
And that was that's the biggest thing with moms. We do not have enough time for ourselves, or we don't take it because we feel like mom guilt, like, oh, well, what are they going to be eating? Oh,
right.
Chick-fil-A.
Some nights it's going to be Chick-fil-A, y'all.
Sometimes
we're going to be Uber Eats.
Uber Eats.
Right.
Jordan, so when all of them.
All the things. So when it comes to like career, for example, with me, my biggest apprehension with knowing, okay, for example, after Kaz, I wasn't completely done, because I feel like I've heard at least that most women know like internally, like, I'm done having children. Then you have some that are just like, oh, well, I'm kind of on the fence. Like, I could do one more or not. So that's kind of where I was with Kaz. I'm one of three. DeVal's one of three. So three kind of felt like a natural number to me. And I got into the swing of having the three children. And he's like, I can have six kids if you let me. You know what I mean? And what he did
number six. Like, that's key too. Six kids. When we first met, six kids. I'm like,
I don't know. No. You can leave that to our grandmother's generation. So I said, all right, I was on the fence. We had one more. But my biggest thing was the woman, of course, carries the baby. And then what happens? You have to kind of reset and you have to get your body back in order. And then you're pregnant for almost 10 months. And then you have that postpartum phase where you're trying to get back, you know, to your old self, which takes, realistically, when my OB told me that it would take probably a year after giving birth for me to feel like myself again, I was like, a year? Nah. But literally, it was almost like a year to the date before I felt like, wow, like I'm myself again. So for me, it was having to be pregnant, having to get back, and then putting my career on hold, especially doing on-camera stuff. Because you've dabbled in acting and stuff too, and doing on-camera work, commercials with your family. So it's that pressure feeling like, man, if I were to go into having a baby again, it's literally like putting my life on hold for a year and a half to 2 years, and then having to restart that career or jumpstart that career. Or if you're in the acting world or the television world, it's literally having to then, you know, be noticed again, because once people start to get a buzz about you, you kind of want to keep that going. So the only kind of consolation that I had, particularly doing the work that I do now, was, thank goodness for social media, I'm able to do a lot of my work from home and kind of control my schedule and stuff. So have you ever had any career moves or opportunities that you had to kind of let fall by the wayside because you were having to mom, or you were pregnant, or you were busy with your family?
Yeah, it's definitely that acting, modeling kind of situation.
Because that field is so fickle.
It would get to the point that, of course, like, our whole family would be called in to do things, and then they would say, like, okay, well, everything's great. And then I'm like, why am I not? I'm like still emotional because I just had a baby. I'm like, why am I not in the picture? They just have my hand. Like, so they were basically like, come in, mom, so you can take care of these four kids with their dad. Cause it was before Bria was born, with their dad. And he's going to be a single dad at the kitchen table with the cereal and the breakfast for
the kids. See, now I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Your hand, because your hand could be what? Who? The housekeeper's hand?
I'm like, why, I don't even have
were they
two
trying
hands.
To push the narrative of the single Black dad trying to raise these kids?
I think
kids?
They were, girl, because I.
Why
I mean,
couldn't mom be in the shot?
Every single job that I have booked with the kids and Keith, it has been like, okay, ma'am, we're going to have you pour this water right here into this cup, and that's your contribution. And then we get the pictures, and I'm like, why am I in all, why did they call me? And I'm like in some of the pictures, and then like, it'd just be like my sock. I'm like, and then the lady was like, look, cause that's at the time when I was like really, you know, together. Cause I was working out.
Right. And you were like, I got back together to only show my hand. What the hell?
And I was like,
well, you better show off your skinny
you
ass wrist.
Like, you have four kids. It just doesn't fit. Like,
show off that skinny ass wrist. That's funny, because I used to go on casting sometimes too, and they'd be like, you don't look like you could be a mom with two or three kids. Yeah. And I'm like, but these are all my children, though. I don't understand.
Yeah.
There was one point when DeVal and I actually took our godchildren on a casting with us because they needed us to have older children. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, it just doesn't make sense because you're like, you look too like fit and young to have three and four kids.
But why is
in what
that?
World,
and
though?
that's the thing too, because why is that? Why are you putting us in a box? Why
that
do the
part.
Moms have to be in a box? Like,
that's
we
fine.
Can be,
we can look like all the things,
every single thing. What you need us to look like, we can do it.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So how do you begin to then like regain yourself after a baby? Like, what are some things that you do? So for me, I'm very reliant on and thankful for my village that helps. Mm-hmm. So that way I'm able to kind of dive back into work. Yeah. You know, Mimi's here with us full time. So it's great because she's like, whatever it is y'all got to do, go ahead and do it. And then we don't have to worry and think about the kids. You don't have as much help on hand. So how do you, are you able to kind of like regain yourself after that and just kind of dive back in?
We don't have as much help. The only thing is Keith's mom does live here in Georgia. So when we do need things or do need to like take a break, go on vacation, whatever, we're able to call her. My mom is all in the way in Michigan, and low key, she's like, let me go to the casino. What? Watch grandkids. Ah, no.
How does that equate to the casino like, too?
No. Ah, let's
all right,
go.
Grandma. Thanks.
Okay, Grandma. So with that, a lot of things have been like Keith and I have had to, we work together. First, we work together. We live together. We pretty much do everything together. So we've had to come like sit down at the table and say, okay, from this time, this is when I want to work out, or he'll train me. So my big thing was like getting back to being active and working out. That was the biggest thing because my mood, I noticed like my mood is better when I work out each day. I have more energy. The endorphins are running. And when I don't, I feel like I'm still in postpartum. Like, so working out has been the key for me to getting back on track. That was one of the biggest things. And then pulling in that help when you need it, even if you have to hire somebody. But I don't hire anybody because I don't trust many people. But
I don't trust anybody. That's why usually all of our kids end up at either house. So I'm like, either drop them all here and then we'll have eight, almost nine kids here. Or literally the other day, Kaz was like, I want to go to Auntie Bianca's house.
And I was like, come on.
I want to go to Auntie Bianca's house. And I'm like, okay, he's so in love with her. It's like the cutest thing. Y'all have to see it. So I'm actually glad that you're close by and we're close by so you guys can have a relationship and our kids can have a relationship. You know what I mean? Because it's a scary thing raising these kids nowadays, not knowing who they're going to end up being with. I low-key, but high-key, want to arrange all my children's marriages. So I'm going to be vetting daughters-in-law for anyone out there. I was just saying to Bianca, I was like, I wish Giselle was like a little bit younger or Jackson was a little bit older because that would have been perfect. And that way I'd know that I'd gel with my in-laws off the bat and I wouldn't have to worry about liking people because I don't really like people like that, in case y'all didn't know. I know DeVal tells y'all sometimes, but I really don't like people like
that.
She
doesn't. That's crazy. No, but guess like what, though? How are you going to handle that? Like, do you ever look ahead and think to yourself, like, how am I going to handle that when my sons actually get engaged or get married and what? Because it's kind of like the boys usually, like, I don't know. It might just be in our family. The girl, our kids are, like, more close to the mother's side of the family. Just because. I don't know why that is, but it just is.
Yeah, then, it kind of happens that way too for us too. Yeah, though both families are pretty involved. My family is like super, super involved. So the kids normally tend to gravitate more that way. And I think it's because of me being the woman and DeVal being the man.
Right.
So that does kind of concern me because I'm just like, damn it.
Are they going to leave?
They're going to leave me. Like all of my boys are eventually going to leave me and they're going to like cleave to their wife, as the Bible says. And then what happens to me?
Right.
You know, so DeVal is just like, you say that like that's a bad thing. Like once the boys are gone, it's not going to be me and you rocking it out. And I'm like, you know what? That is true.
That is true.
Because we genuinely like our husbands.
We do.
We do. We like them.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. They're pretty cool dudes, you know. But yeah, I think at that point, then shoot. I mean, I guess we'll have to just.
You could just. Come to my house, I guess.
How come to your house? We're just going to be doing couples trips from now on.
It's just to the point that with the girls, like, that's the only thing that Keith does say all the time. He's like, well, girls don't ever go anywhere. Boys are going to leave or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you'll have your daughters all this time. And I'm just like, for
that's
real?
True. Because when you think about it, when your daughters have babies, if they choose to, then you're probably going to be like the first one there for it. Because I know my mom is like the first one there when I have my babies. So when my said granddaughters are born.
No, I'm not.
All I know is that these hoes better let me in the
We coming.
The hospital. I'm coming to the house.
And I'm kicking it in.
I don't care what y'all have to say. And hopefully my boys will know to be like, listen, my mom is going to be, she's going to be.
Maybe so. I say that.
But I don't want to be the overbearing mother-in-law either, though, because that can suck too. You know what I mean? I don't have an overbearing mother-in-law, so I don't know what that's like. I've heard of people.
Yeah.
I actually appreciate my mother-in-law and I have a great relationship where I lean on her and she's there when I need her. And then, you know, she'll offer. I'll say yes or no or whatever. But I usually appreciate the help. So
yeah, I always appreciate the help. Like with my mother-in-law, when she comes, she pretty much. She'll do everything. Like, it'll be to the point that I'm like, no, don't wash my clothes. No, don't do this.
And don't rearrange my furniture.
Don't don't break all my wine glasses.
At the very least. And if you're going to break them, buy me some more. How about that?
But the thing is that, we have a great relationship as well, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just different. It's different when you have a mother-in-law versus your own mom, because you and your mother have been with each other the whole time. Well, so yeah, your mom is not going to take something personal that you
exactly
said.
Versus like your mother-in-law, my mom already knows sometimes, like, girl, I'm not in the mood. Don't start with me today. Yeah. Just, you know,
kind of chill out.
Chill out.
But
chill out.
Your mother-in-law, you kind of feel like, can I really? Like, I don't want her to take it the wrong way. So let me just chill.
We have some friends of ours that it's a husband and wife team, of course, and the wife pretty much put like a time constraint on like how long the in-laws can come over. So like her mother-in-law can only visit 6 weeks out of the year, and they can't be like combined. They have to be like spread out. And I was just kind of like, well, if that works for y'all.
That would not work in my house.
Okay? If that works for y'all.
It wouldn't
and
work.
And I was just kind of like, ooh. And Deval was like, what? Kay could never tell me that my mom has a cap on the number of times right. she comes or how long she can spend.
Because then it's like, you know? Okay, so when your mom comes, what are you going to do? Are you going to allow your husband to be like, okay, she's been here for 8 hours
well,
and
apparently
16 minutes.
Her and her mom are a little estranged. So she doesn't even understand the relationship between like a mom wanting to come and be involved.
Okay.
So it was a touchy situation because we kind of got in the middle of like a debate they were having. And we was kind of like, ooh, you know, when it gets right. kind of awkward when your married friends are having conversations and you're just like, well, this is getting weird real fast. Like,
okay, well, I'm going to, we're going to go.
Oh, look at it. It's the kids calling. We got to go.
Right.
Like one of those situations.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's going to be interesting to see as it grows. But of course, with my boys, I want to be able to have a relationship where they would feel comfortable saying, hey, mm-hmm. my mom is here. She's always here when we need her.
Right.
You know, much like what my mom does. Like, that's just where our investment is in our families.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, if I can't be there,
yeah,
I need my mom to be there. She's
that's
like the
true.
Next best thing to me. You
that's
know what
true.
I'm saying? So rounding out our conversation, of course, I have to touch on, because this is always like the thing we get asked the most, having multiple children and then, of course, having husbands. How do you make time for your husband and for the relationship side of things? Because, you know, we talk about having the baby, then getting yourself back in order, getting yourself back in shape for yourself, getting yourself back in shape for your spouse, which I believe is a thing.
That is a thing.
Because
I mean,
I'm like,
know.
Who he fell in love with and the way we created these babies and the person he approached to have these babies with, mm-hmm. I'd like to at least give him that person back at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you and Keith work around just maintaining your relationship in the hysteria and craziness that is five kids?
So the great thing, now that the kids are back in school, we just have the one at home, which is Brielle, and she's pretty go with the flow with Keith. I'm not even gonna lie. She's not go with the flow with me.
Mm-hmm.
But creating that time, nap time, we'll have little time to go, or mm-hmm. letting her go to one of my friend's house or whatever like that to get the lunch dates in, dinner dates are cool because of course we have teenagers, so we're like Friday night, Wednesday night, whatever night, we're gonna be mm-hmm. out. Like so
y'all are deliberate about setting up that time.
We're deliberate about setting up time where it's just us, even like traveling, like we'll take little mini vacations with just each other because that's a part of it. I feel like you have to reconnect because on that end, guys don't feel like after you have kids, they're like, oh, you look good. Like, I feel like they're just like, oh, you look good. You look great. You look this. And you're like, in the inside, you're like, no, I don't.
I know.
I don't look the same. I can't even fit my clothes.
Girl, even pregnant DeVal's still chasing me down. I'm like, bro,
do you see
there's already a baby in there. What are we trying to do?
Right. And it is true because they're, I feel like they just don't have an off switch. It's just like
they
no
don't.
Off switch.
There's no off switch.
Like, they just see ass and they're just like, let me just touch I just gotta touch
his
you.
Ass
and then you're just like
and titties and
you're like
all that stuff and it's like what's going on? That's literally what we deal with all
yeah,
day
all day
but low-key like, it low-key it's cute
fun. It's cute, it's real cute, especially
because
if you're
least,
in the kitchen and then you just get a little that's cute
right and it makes you feel like okay, I still got it even at 8 months pregnant or even at 4 months postpartum when you still don't feel like yourself
right.
But it's just also as women I get it like
yeah it is
internally we're just like man I'm not at my best right now
creating time and scheduling it planning it and sticking to it that's the thing like if anything pops up we're like no remember we had to
non-negotiable
we're gonna do this and not talking about work when we are on we're like nothing about work I don't want to hear it I don't want to see it I don't want to clock out like
yeah.
we're clocked out So
I just realized that about us too. We have that also similar. That's which makes sense though, why you were such a perfect guest for today. Not just for Girl Talk, but because we have a lot of similarities that in that working together with your spouse can be a whole nother can of worms.
It can.
A whole nother can of worms.
You'd be ready to strangle them sometimes.
It's like, who am I talking to? Am I talking to DeVal the husband, DeVal the father, DeVal my business partner, DeVal my mentor because he's trying to help me like do something. And then I have to almost check myself sometimes with like how I'm talking to each person.
Right.
Because it can end up in an argument or a fight, or it's like he's the kind of person that doesn't clock out like ever. Mm-hmm. He's always on, he's always going. And that's always something we have to always work at when you talk about scheduling and time. That's something that I have to kind of be on him about and say, you know what, now is not work time.
Right.
You know, and for him, it's just like, well, you know, I can't turn off because I'm the provider. And he takes pride in being the provider in the family.
And I
like,
think that's
which
Keith
is fine.
And DeVal's similarity as well. Yes. To the point that I'll just, like, if we're at dinner and he's like, oh, did you send these emails? I'm like, uh-uh. Nope.
Not Cut talking
it.
About that.
Not talking about Cut. It. And then he's like, but. And I'm like, but. Do you see where we're at? Do you see, is there a computer in front of my face? I know I got my phone and I can do it, but we're not doing that right now. We're eating dinner. Mm-hmm. We're going to have this drink.
Girl, that'd be me. I'd be like, DeVal, just book the ticket to go on a trip for the weekend.
He'd
be like, what?
The airport.
That's it. I'll just talk to our manager, look at the schedule. I'm like, oh, there's nothing going on in those days.
Let's go.
We're going to clock out and we're going to go. But that's what we need.
That's what we need. And I feel like that's the balance too, because Keith has said that he was like, okay, I feel like you're the one who's kind of like, oh, okay, calm, cool, collected until something like blows up. Like Keith is like, if it's not perfect, it's just... Mm-hmm. It's not happening. It's not existent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, things are not going to be perfect all the time. So let's just go
find
ahead.
Find a way to pivot. Yep.
Pivot.
I think that's that football life too, coming from that. There's like a certain
so
level of discipline that they have. Yeah. That they just kind of like, they can't maneuver from that sometimes. Yeah. So in walks us saving the day and just saying, you know,
got
what?
Our capes on.
We need some time. We put our capes on and we make it happen for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Our leotards.
So what do you have to say to people who say, you know what? Y'all got too many damn kids. Have you ever gotten that? Like someone just look at you and be like,
mind your
y'all
business.
Have so many kids.
How about that? Mind your business and your ovaries while I stay over here in my mind.
That part. Exactly. And as long as we're not making any more at this point, because I think you're done. Is it fair to say?
I believe I am finished.
Right. Has Keith gone back in? The million dollar question. Did he go back in to get his semen tested? That's what
he
we want to know. Does he have any swimmers?
He has not. And he's been like, oh, you've been working out. Come. I'm like, back up.
Oh, so the body's getting back in order. So he's like,
yeah, he's like, hey, you look good. Let me. I'm like,
Are you on any birth control?
No.
Oh,
but I'm not having any more kids. I'm not. I'm like this. I'm like the Heisman. Like, when it comes to him, like, block. And then since he's like at the point where, you know, like our kids, when they were younger, they all slept in their own room, they had their own schedule, whatever. We never allowed them in our bed with us. That was like our time. Mm-hmm. Make sure they go to bed at 8 o'clock. So we have time.
Hence you got
after.
Mad kids.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to bed at 8. And still now I'll tell them like they're teenagers. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. Y'all got to wind down or go in the basement. So with that being said, it's like Keith kind of just whatever.
Yeah, I heard it,
he
right?
He kind of just, whatever.
So
we not
get,
having no
he
more
didn't
kids.
Get checked out.
We not
and
doing no more.
She's over here riding dirty, y'all. So.
I'm not having any more kids. We talked about that. Even
she's
though.
Riding dirty.
I'm not
wanna
riding.
See her riding
I'm not
dirty.
Riding.
Wanna see her riding dirty.
I'm not riding.
Okay,
I'm
all right.
I'm not riding.
I mean, you know.
I'm not.
Depends
like,
on what your favorite
I am,
is.
But you know what? I am. But it's not going... It's not going to
Well, do
happen.
You feel like it? Well, I mean, I guess because the discussion now is like, okay, Kadeem, you've had three, almost four children. I feel like I've done my fair share. I've done my share of birth control over the years. Now it's your turn,
like
bro.
It.
Now it's your turn. Because it's same.
I don't
like it
like
either.
Birth control.
We talked about the IUD last season and how that just jacked up everything for me in general with my mood, my libido, everything. So I'm like, at this point, I'm like, it's on you, bro. Like, snippety snippety.
I mean, and get checked. If you do, DeVal, please go.
Be on them.
To the cup.
Yes.
Get them tested. Because
there'll
be one or two that just, they want to be.
Maybe
here.
We'll send him and Keith together. Keith can go for his checkup and then DeVal can go for his procedure. And then it could be a thing where they're just like bonding over it. They can have lunch after and it could be a whole day out.
Like they act like they literally can't do nothing afterwards. So we have whole babies and be up walking, doing stuff.
Dances doing stuff the next day
and they'd be like oh
my god so funny
can't do it
all right girl so listen at a Deadass podcast. We do, I forgot where we were for a second. It felt like girl chat. It felt like it was just me and her here. I forgot there was a microphone. I forgot y'all were listening. Oh my God. So we're going to come back because we have a segment called Listener Letters. And people write into us and they want all the advice. And though we don't claim to be experts, I say if I can give y'all my little two cents and it helps, then all the better. So I would be very interested to see what they have to say. And if you don't mind sticking around, we can do some listener letters together.
I'm leaving.
No, girl, you're staying. You're definitely staying. So we're going to take a quick break, y'all, and we're going to move into listener letters after we get into some ads. There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
All right, we're back for listener letters, which DeVal always says is my favorite portion because I be nosy and I want to be in people's business. I can't be in y'all business if y'all don't write to me, okay? So that's the way I see it, okay? So today, me and Bianca are going to be all up in y'all business. So here's the first one. Lord. All right, so let's here's see. A little story. I first want to thank you guys for making this podcast. It's been such a help. You're welcome. I'm a 26-year-old woman, and I've noticed that at one point, you guys continually bring up finding your purpose and not relying on others to make you feel fulfilled. I've heard this from a number of people in my life as well. The question is how? Everyone seems to have some idea of what they want their future to look like or where they want their careers to go, and I'm just stuck. My friends and colleagues have these grandiose plans for their careers, and I feel like I'm just along for the ride. I've considered how I'd like to climb the corporate ladder and what I'd like people to say or think about me when I'm gone, but there is nothing that makes me happy. Wow. Yeah. I don't feel the need to be the big boss or the change maker of my industry, and that feels like the only form of passion that's out there. Don't get me wrong, I do enjoy the work that I do, but it doesn't spark a passion in me. How do I find my passion? What advice do you have for this good sis? She's 26. She's still young. Still trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know your passion at 26? Because I know I sure as hell didn't.
I mean, I knew what I was passionate about, which was many things. You see, I'm a Gemini. I'd be like, okay. So I feel like with that being said, she probably needs to go into self-discovery and see what she really enjoys and what she really likes or what she's really familiar with. For me, it was like real estate. I come from a family that did real estate, had their own real estate business, did a lot of rehabs, did a lot of subdivisions. So quite naturally, that was what I did and what I still do. So I think that that would be a good basis to start is self-discovery, see what you like. And it doesn't, I feel like a lot of people get caught up with thinking it might just be one thing. It might not be just one thing. You might have many interests, and I don't have a problem with, having multiple businesses as long as you are able to handle that or working for someone. She says she just wants to be in corporate America and works for someone. That's good. That's good too. I mean, she's 26. You're young. Why do people have to put so much pressure to think that you have to have it all figured out at 26? You're not going to have it figured out. You're not going to have it figured all out at 30. Some people do and some people don't, but me, I personally, like, even at 35, I was kind of like, 35. What do I want to do now?
Right.
I'm 35. Like I was right. freaking all out thinking exactly. that I had to.
Well, you think about that, the age too. You're just like, oh my God, the age is a number. Yes. This is where I am.
I was supposed to be here.
I should be here. Right.
Or doing this, that. And more so focused on the things that you have already, that you've already been able to accomplish and focus more on that versus what you don't have or what you want to be like and who says what. Because let's be real, people are going to say what they want to say. They talked about Jesus Christ himself.
DeVal just said that. They talked about Jesus. Okay. He literally just said that in our last episode. He was just like, Jesus had haters. Yeah. Jesus had people scrutinizing him.
So it's just you.
It's really those. Yeah. You. And I think also not comparing your successes to the others around
you.
Exactly. Because they may have had things figured out by now. That doesn't mean that you have to, per se.
And they might not have it figured out. You just don't know.
That's a fact.
Boom.
It could be smokes and mirrors, sis. It could be a facade. You never know.
We don't know.
But yeah, I mean, at 26, I want to say that even now at 30 something years old, I'm still kind of reevaluating what it is I want to do because at different phases in your life, you're evolving and you're changing.
So.
And it may not be any one thing, like you said, that you're passionate about. So I say, give yourself a little grace, sis. You still have some time to figure things out.
Definitely.
And then I'm not sure how much you're out there trying different things, but you may want to try different things to see, okay, if your excitement is not going to be in your career and that's not going to be your passion, because I don't think passion is synonymous with career per se.
Correct.
It may be your life's work. It may be you volunteering, you taking up some kind of charity work, you working with children.
She didn't want to be a world changer either.
Oh, you don't want to be. She did say she doesn't want to be a world changer. So you just want to
exist. We don't know what you want to do, girl.
Girl,
we don't know. We don't know what to tell you. You don't know. We don't know. We can't tell you what to do.
We can't tell you what
to
do. We
can just give you some advice.
So she don't want to change the world. So if you just want to be out there kind of just existing, sis, maybe it'll find you at some point. How about that? Maybe your passion will find you one of these days. Never know.
You don't know.
Or it could be your passion that you don't know is maybe eventually when you get married, having children. Some people are passionate about motherhood or parenthood.
I was passionate about motherhood.
I'm still passionate about motherhood.
I love motherhood.
I think that's like my favorite number one job.
Yeah.
That's the best hood to be in,
it's
right?
It's the best hood.
The best hood. So good luck to you, sis, as you figure that out. But don't put yourself on any time restraints either, because we always tend to have this mental checklist in our head of like ages that we're supposed to be correlating to having things particularly done or started. And I feel like sometimes you got to chuck that list and just ride the wave.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll figure it out. You
stress yourself out, give yourself anxiety, all types of stuff.
There we
go. So we don't need that.
We don't need that. All right, number two. I just had my 50th birthday in May. Gemini, whoop, whoop. Oh,
Gemini, girl, like you already.
See? And I have a thing for Geminis. Bianca and another one of my best friends, Christina, are Geminis too. So I am recently divorced after 16 years. He cheated the entire time.
What?
Ooh. I have four kids, 31, 20, 12, and 7. No idea what I was thinking. I guess she was thinking age gaps. All right. I mean, it happened, though. Anyway, I feel like I'm ready to get back out and date. But my problem is I don't like men my age. I'm only attracted to men between 30 to 40-ish.
You a cougar.
I do not look my age, so I'm often approached by younger men as well. This concerns me because my ex-husband was 11 years younger than me, and I wonder if this could be why we didn't make it. I've tried older men, and nothing about them interests me.
Why?
They could be fine as hell and still nothing. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
It's always been this way, and I don't know why, but I know I like it. Should I continue to try and date older men or just be true to myself and stick with the young bucks?
Girl. What do you got to say
about
that?
Well, she said she just celebrated her 50th birthday and she doesn't look 50.
What you look like? Hey.
Because, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I'm going to say as I'm approaching 40,
I feel like
right there with you. What exactly does that look like anymore? We think about like what 40-year-olds look like in our parents' generation versus now.
They were looking.
And I'm still trying to, I think I could still pull me a little like.
Tenderoni.
Yeah, a little early 30s, late 20s guy if I needed to. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that maybe you should start to look for connections with people personality wise too. Like you see, they look good. It's like, okay, do we have anything in common or are we just looking at age?
Right. Because what it sounds like that you are just looking at age, because you said they could be fine and you're still like, I don't know about them. So what is it? Is it the age that's intriguing you? It must be.
Right. It seems like you have a thing. Cause then does it feel weird to you that you have a 31-year-old child, but you're dating?
A 31-year-old
or a possible 30-something
year
old?
Yeah, so then your 31-year-old got to be like, is my mom going to date all my friends when I bring them over here?
Then is he going to get nervous? He or she getting nervous? Like, wait a second.
I shouldn't take y'all over to my mama. She might get you.
She might just get you for sure. Hmm. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, I feel like having been married for 16 years, you're now 50.
16. That's a
I feel like, and he was cheating the entire time. I feel like just do you.
Yeah,
what
do
is that?
You.
Do
like,
you.
Why are you in Don't such a rush to get into? I'm not saying you're rushing because you didn't say that you said you wanted to get back dating. So,
Dating
is cool. I feel like go ahead and just date and dabble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, test the appetizers out there.
Let's see, the young bucks. And she's trying to see, she's asking, should she continue to stick with dating guys older? I mean, if you're not attracted to older men, then like this, that just answers
but
your
maybe,
question right there.
Yeah, because maybe you just don't worry about their age at first. Just don't even ask them. Well, make sure they're legal, honey.
And I would think, too, at 50-something, if you're dating somebody like 30 to 40-ish, you also have to make sure, like, does this person want children? Is there, like, what is the intention?
Yes, yes.
You should be deliberate with what you're putting out there. What's the intention for guys? Is that you're just dating to have a good time and have, you know, a companion, or are you dating with a purpose for something else? Because you also don't want to be that older woman that eventually this 30-something-year-old is like, I want kids. And you're like,
I ain't having
I'm
more.
Pushing 60. My eggs are like depleted.
Fried.
Yeah.
They're gone. They shriveled. So I'm not going to say that.
I think
no,
be purposeful with how you're approaching it. But I say stick to what you like. If you like a guy that airs on the younger side, then
go for it.
Why not? Yeah. Especially if you can peg them, girl. Good for you.
That is good for you.
Good for you.
I would say, yeah, stick with the young ones if you like that sort of thing. But then don't put too much emphasis on age. Like if you start to connect, look for the connection.
Right.
Look for the connection. You might learn that you start to liking something a little bit older, a little bit more seasoned, a little bit, you know, because that is true with the kids situation. What are you going to do if they want to have kids and you're beyond kid point or you don't want anymore?
That's a fact. There you go. Hope that helps y'all today. And if you want to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com. All right, Bianca. So at the end of every episode, before we leave, we have something called the moment of truth,
where
it just pretty much like sums up the entire episode. Like, what's a little takeaway that people can take from this episode based off of everything we said? Because we spoke about all the things. We spoke about having multiple children, juggling that, husbands, style stepping and parenting accordingly. Mm-hmm. So what's a little tidbit that you can leave the listeners today?
Little tidbit, guys. I don't know. Basically, just to, you know, try to do you. Try to do you. That's it. Because when you're a mother, you put a lot of emphasis and time into your children. When you're married, your husband, if you're with someone, your partner. So I would say for moms out there to take that extra time. And if it's an hour, you can do it. You can do anything for an hour. So I would just say take that extra time that you need. Meditate. Work out. Do something that you enjoy. Go to Home Goods. Go to Target.
That's it. I like that. That's what I be doing. Sometimes Bianca and I will call together. We're just like, hey, let's go to Sam's
Club.
That's my moment of truth. If you ever need a moment, get you a friend.
And go to the store and
get
go
you
buy
a friend. Yes.
Stuff
get
that
you a
Trump
friend.
Don't need.
Get you a Bianca in your life who you can sit with, you can chat, you can have girl talk, no judgment. Anytime, we just down for each other.
Make a charcuterie board.
Wine when I could drink wine. I can't wait, actually.
A mocktail.
a mocktail. Yeah, I can't wait to just be back where I could just really enjoy and partake in the spirits.
One more month. That's it.
One more month. Yeah, he's over here trying to kick his way out in the meantime.
So that's my takeaway.
Make some time for yourselves, moms. And mine is get you a friend, especially if you have mad kids, that you can just say, well, you know what? You got mad kids. I got mad kids. Let's get all these kids together and we can just sit and make an evening out of it. They'll entertain each other.
Yeah, take the kids. You take the upstairs, the kids. Take the downstairs or outside. Kick them out. Kick the kids out. That's the takeaway.
That's it. And while you're doing that, be sure to follow us on social media at Deadass the Podcast. I'm Kadine. I am. And of course, you can follow Hubby, who's not here today. He's probably with Keith somewhere doing something. Hopefully, they're arranging that vasectomy appointment. Maybe. DeVal? I am DeVal. Hopefully. Follow him and see what he says. And if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Deadass
is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's a perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust, you don't want to miss it.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.